How did you first get into the industry?
Well, when I was still a student within UCLA, I was asking if there were established internships with animation companies. And I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself when I answer this question, but the animation industry at that time was really at an all-time low. And I was learning to do traditional hand-drawn animation at that time. So I was drawing constantly, just drawing. And looking around at the industry, it was very much about Saturday morning cartoons and Disney was at a low, and there was just very little going on in the animation industry that was of excitement. You know, I got into animation because as a kid watching films like Pinocchio and Bambi and so forth, like I mentioned, that's the caliber of what I wanted to do. And of course, by the time I went through a college program, I was just ready to graduate. There was nothing going on in the industry of that caliber, so it was really quite a shame. And so I found out about various alumni in the industry that had gone to the UCLA Film School and what were they doing. And one of them that I had looked up was a nice young man at that time, Hoyt Yateman. And Hoyt, who just recently directed the G-Force with the guinea pigs, right?
Yeah, I've seen
but,
that.
But I think that was his first time directing debut, but Hoyt is really known for a long history of doing visual effects supervision in movies when he's an amazingly talented man. But anyway, he was a UCLA grad, and he formed a company with five other partners called DreamQuest, and they were doing visual effects for films. They had split off from a group that did Blade Runner and formed their own company. And so anyway, to make a long story long, I asked him, I said, hey, have you ever had interns at your company? You know, I'm a UCLA student and I would love to learn from you. And he said, oh, no, we've never really done that before, but we certainly would be open to doing that. And so, I mean, gosh, who wouldn't accept free labor, right? Sure, you can come work for us.
Yeah.
So it was great, though. You know, who cares if you get a paycheck if you're actually doing something as a student like that and doing something in the industry that you want to do.
Yeah.
So it was an entry into visual effects. They weren't doing animation, but they were doing visual effects. And the visual effects at that point in time, again, had very little to do with computers. There was no computer graphics per se. I think Tron had come out right around that time. Everyone thinks that Tron is predominantly a CG rendered movie, but it's not. It's actually a lot of it is shot with cameras and then treated with codaliths and backlit on motion control cameras and things like that.
Right. Yeah.
Of course, there's the whole motorcycle sequence, which is computer generated, but there was very little done in that time. That was computer generated. So most visual effects at that time had to do with miniatures and computer controlled cameras moving around the miniatures. So it was loosely related to animation, and that you were still animating cameras and things, you know, within an environment. But it was all done with matte paintings, and these were real matte paintings on board or on glass with rear projection, things like that. Or with miniatures, which were models, and flying cameras around these things. This was all, of course, shot on film, sent to the lab. You get the film back the next day, you screen it and see if it worked, and then you put it into an optical printer and do about 70 or 80 passes, you know, through an optical printer and hope that you got every single map just perfectly, and send that to the lab, and 2 days later you get it back, and you go, it didn't work, let's do it again. It's a really laborious process, but it was absolutely fascinating. It was a very tactile experience because everything that you're doing in terms of the creation process is literally in your hands or seen through a lens. And I would never regret, you know, having had that experience of making films with film. And of course, you know, what we have now in terms of the digital tools has taken us to, you know, new horizons, and what we can do now is just unfathomable. You know, back in that time, I do remember those occasions where we're all sitting around you know, kicking, like, oh, wouldn't it be fun if someday, you know, we could actually do some of this stuff with computers? And everyone's like, oh, you'll never be able to animate a character convincingly with a computer.
Oh, really? You actually discussed this?
Yeah, we did. We did. But no one believed that we really could do it. You know, and this is in the I graduated from film school in 1983. I actually started in the industry in 1982 because of the internship. See how long-winded that answer was? We went back to the whole internship thing. Well, I got into computer animation very early in the history of computer animation. I was fortunate that I was working at Mattel Toys for a little while. I was fortunate because one of the friends that I had made at DreamQuest during that visual effects work in the early years had understood my interest in computer animation, which was just starting to come into existence really at that time, and he said, oh, you know, I've got a friend over at this company called Digital Productions. They're, you know, I think you'd be really good for this company because you're a traditional animator. And you've worked in visual effects, and you have this kind of technical aptitude. There's something about you. I think you should talk with these people. And and he lined something up, and I think it just happened in a blink. I think within a week or something, I was working at this company, and they had just finished The Last Starfighter, and of course it was in the news quite a bit at the time because it was raising a lot of questions, especially in Los Angeles, like, will computer graphics replace visual effects, you know, done in the traditional way, that whole thing, right?
Right, yeah.
And it created some healthy debates about, you know, whether that was really possible, if computer graphics would ever be sophisticated enough to be able to replace miniatures, and there's no way you could ever animate characters that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And so, of course, Digital Productions didn't believe that, and they hired me to be a character animator. and I was it was a pretty big company. I think there were about 100 people, let's say, working at the company. And it was known because it had a Cray computer, right? And
right.
They had this huge machine room that was, you know, one of these clean room scenarios, and you had to have a special swipe card to get in, and you went in and the whole thing was humming, and it was liquid cooled. It had all these pipes, you know, running,
wow,
you know, in and out through the building. You went out to the parking lot, and there was these enormous fans just blowing air like crazy to keep this computer cold enough, you know, so that it could run.
Yeah.
And it was really quite impressive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am walking in. It's like, I'm an animator. And it's like, okay, we'll teach you VAX VMS. Like, what's that? You know? And so I just sat down with a pile of books that were all very technically oriented, and
right,
they taught me basic, you know, command line input on things, because there were no computer graphics with interfaces that you click on things. That didn't exist, so
yeah,
everything was manually entered. And there were two other animators there at the time that had started probably right about the same time that I was there. One of them was Bill Croyer,
right,
who went on to direct Ferngully, and he's had quite an accomplished career in commercial directing and so forth. The other was Chris Bailey, who I don't know where he's at right now. He was at Disney, I think, for a while, and you know, DreamWorks or something, but I don't know where he's at. And myself. And I think we were kind of hired as guinea pigs to see if we would implode, you know. And we practically did, because with the amount of computer knowledge that was acquired, you know, just to kind of get around,
right,
it was pretty... pretty challenging, but as I said, I do have a bit of a technical
mm-hmm.
bent to me. My dad's an electrical engineer, so there must be some
right.
some gene in me that doesn't intimidate, you know, the technology there.
And you'd use computers quite a bit in the sort of visual effects side?
Very little.
Really?
Yeah,
so
very,
was...
very little. Yeah, most of that was just hands-on with optical printers, and yeah, there was data entry to get the cameras to move around, but
mm-hmm.
it was pretty simple. I mean, if you think nowadays about what does it take to move? Basically, all you're doing with motion control is you're translating a camera in XYZ space,
yeah,
you know, translation and rotation, period. And so all you're doing is describing a path through the air. It's basically like one path,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's pretty simple. So if you think of computer animation relative to that, and having a bunch of nodes that you have to animate everything for, but doing that manually, you
yeah.
know, by typing everything in, then it's just multiplying that sort of simple idea of moving a camera through space as opposed to moving every single node through space. And there was no IK, and there was nothing. And it was basically, like, think of it like a digital puppet,
right,
that you have to describe every single position and every single rotation through command line. So literally you would say, X, you know, Xtran 1.3, and you look at the result and you go, Xtran 1.32, Xrot 6.4, and then you kind of look at it and you go, I think that'll work. Keyframe 31, you know, and then you would just kind of go and you pick, you know, and then you select R finger one, you know, like joint number one, and you can do the next thing, and you keep doing that, and you keep doing that, and you keep entering all the stuff in, and eventually it would have enough information that you could describe a spline. There was no curve editor.
Yeah.
There was the notion of velocity. So basically it's like if you think of the handle on your curve editor, like picking a keyframe, and you're pulling your handle around, mm-hmm. basically what you're doing is you're adjusting the velocity that goes in and out of a key.
Sure.
So I could type in velocity 0.63, you know, which would describe the curve, you know,
okay.
that would come off of the velocity at which the curve would be described. So it's basically all the same stuff, but it's all numerical, right?
Yeah. At what rate were you producing animation there then?
It was slow. I'm trying to think of some of the first. I think when I first got there, they put me on some simpler stuff, and we had done the network campaign for ABC, and there were, you know, around that period there were a lot of flying logos that were actually done with models,
okay.
and so CG is like, ooh, here's a great way to do flying logos.
Yeah.
You know? And so there was a period where CG was mostly used for flying logos, and then of course some of the real premier companies were pushing that into the new bounds, like doing Last Starfighter or Tron.
Mm-hmm.
And so Digital Productions was still bread and butter work, was doing a lot of IDs, but we were doing national campaigns. You know, we were doing literally like broadcasts, you know, like ABC Network and NBC Network, you know, their
okay.
identities. So these were national, you know, level things. They were huge and high budget.
So this is kind of the high end.
The highest end, basically. You know, every day that you would turn on, every night that you would turn on, you would see your work because it was broadcast between every television, between every show, basically.
Wow.
That kind of stuff, you know. So that was kind of rewarding to see, but it was still, in my mind, it was a flying logo.
Yeah.
And I had trained myself, of course, to be a character animator through traditional means, and I was just itching, you know, to get on something that was a little bit meatier than that. But I still had to learn how to do, you know, Xtran 1.3 and all that kind of stuff in order to get there. So we did attract some other projects. We did the opening to the film Labyrinth, which had an owl, a flying owl in it. Go watch
right.
it. Go watch it. It's pretty interesting.
I have
it's
to say,
bad.
I didn't notice that
yeah.
was
yeah.
computer generated.
Yeah. I think, if I recall, Bill Croyer animated that owl.
Really?
And then, which of course had, I mean, if you stop and think about how many nodes are on a bird, an owl,
yeah.
you know, think of every one of them. Every one you have to know what it's called and being able to type in a selection node and animate, you know, through, you know, rotational and positional stuff. It was just unwieldy. And then right around that time, we got a series of commercials for Prudential. And one of them involved flying down through this canyon landscape with water, right? And of course, I mean, if you stop and think about, this is back in the days when reflection maps were new.
Right.
You know, so to sit there and think about doing things like flying through a canyon landscape, a rock landscape, and
yeah.
with all this detail that has water in it, and you know, so everything about it was just totally cutting edge,
right?
And everyone was, oh, this is going to be great. You know, how are we going to do it? and it also involved an eagle, you know, flying through it because of the, you know, symbology of the powerful and courageous eagle, you know,
okay.
with the insurance company,
right. Just
and,
to make it a bit more difficult as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it also had live action people that we had to comp into it and all that stuff. So anyway, I got the eagle, and I thought, oh, that's great, you know. And so I animated this eagle over a period of, I don't know, it must have taken I really don't remember exactly, but probably about a month or two, you know, okay. to get this eagle to fly. And everyone just loved it so much that they wanted to have the eagle in there again, you know. So they actually wanted me to animate some more and so forth. And it was really fun. It was really great, you know, getting involved.
And that was your first kind of character that you animated, was it?
It was the first CG character. Right. It was this flying eagle, and it really made a huge impression. If I remember right, the commercial got Clio awards and all kinds of things. You know,
wow.
Yeah.